Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you are the God who has made yourself known to us. And we pray that as we consider that truth this morning, you would encourage our hearts. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, one book in the world has had more influence than any other. And of course, it is this one. Now, it is the world's bestseller. It's estimated to have been printed 6 billion times. There are 6 billion copies of the Bible, or have been. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. Approximately 3,000 languages have part of the Bible translated into it. Of those, around about 500 have a complete Bible. There's 1,500 projects going on in the world to translate the Bible, and almost 2,000 languages which still don't have any part of the Bible in them. It is a library of books. It has 66 books within it. It was written by about 40 different human writers over a period of well over 1,000 years. It's made up of many kinds of different styles of writing, poetry, wise sayings, biography, prophecy, and history. And it's a book that has been understood to bring God's message to his world, his out-breathed word, as we heard in our epistle from 2 Timothy, a book which has had huge impact for good on countries like our own and on countless individuals. But it's not unusual to hear people ask questions like the one we're considering this morning. Is the Bible reliable? Isn't it full of contradictions, people say, and other things that they've heard others say? Well, one of the things that we've realised as we've looked at the sort of questions that people often ask Christians is that it is good not only to try to answer questions as people legitimately raise them, but like Jesus did, also to gently and respectfully ask questions back. So we can say to people, have you read much of the Bible? So often people have little personal experience of it. They've just picked things up by hearsay. Which contradictions do you have in mind when they ask us about such things? Because often people don't have any particular one. They've just heard others say the same thing. People seem to forget that many people over almost 2,000 years have been reading the Bible, and nothing has been found yet that fundamentally discredits it. Many centuries of careful scholarship back up the Bible. One expert put it like this: as I have dealt with one apparent discrepancy after another, and have studied the alleged contradictions between the Bible's record and the evidence of linguistics, archaeology, or science, my confidence in the trustworthiness of Scripture has been repeatedly verified and strengthened by the discovery that almost every problem that has ever been suggested has been dealt with in a satisfactory manner by the Bible's text itself, or else by archaeological information or other things. But what is it that helps us to see that the Bible is reliable? Well, let me suggest that there are two main strands of evidence. Is what you might call the external evidence, evidence from outside the Bible itself, and internal evidence, evidence from the Bible. So beginning with external evidence, and also beginning with the thought that there are other sources which back up the Bible's claims, information from outside the Bible. So, for example, there were several non-Christian historians who wrote about the events of the New Testament at the same time that the Bible was being written. Josephus, for example, a Jewish historian, says that people believed Jesus to be the Messiah. And the Roman historian Tacitus referred to Jesus' execution by Pontius Pilate and the existence of early Christians in Rome. Just two examples of the way that external sources back up the accuracy of the Bible. But also from outside, there is the evidence of archaeology. It's often been the case that people have said that the Bible can't be right about this particular king or that particular place. And then some archaeological find is discovered that actually backs up what the Bible has said all along. Professor Donald Wiseman, formerly of London University, summed up his research, his years of research, by saying this: no fact of archaeology so far discovered contradicts the biblical record. Extraordinary. It all matches together. The Bible is no fairy tale. Quite the contrary, it has its roots in history and its basis in facts. And then there's the evidence of manuscripts. Now, most historical documents are considered reliable if two factors about the manuscripts come together. If there's a relatively short time between the events that the book describes and the written record, and there are a good number of copies of those early manuscripts surviving, well, then it's considered to be a reliable historical source. So, for example, virtually everyone believes that Julius Caesar came to Britain in 55 BC. Now, how do we know that? Because it's written in a book called Caesar's Gallic Wars. But how do we test the reliability of that book? Well, the earliest manuscript of that book, which tells a story, was written about 900 years after the invasion. And there are about 9 or 10 copies of it. And that's usually thought to be good evidence for historical reliability. No one really questions it. Now, if you take, say, the Gospels from the New Testament, the earliest full copy is only 200 years after the event, and there are thousands of copies. And, of course, there are parts of the Gospels from just a few decades after they were written. Very good manuscript evidence indeed. And not only that, but, of course, the copies of the manuscripts were very, very carefully recorded, being passed on with a very high degree of accuracy. From time to time, very old Bible documents have been found from before the time of Jesus, most famously the Dead Sea Scrolls. And these show just how accurate the copies that we have in our Bibles are. So there's lots of external evidence. Evidence, for example, from other historians that back up the Bible, from archaeology, the manuscript evidence. Then, of course, there is what you might call personal evidence. This book is very powerful, and it has influenced a great many civilizations and cultures and nations and individuals. When people have tried to suppress its truth, they found that its influence continues to grow. When people have sought to dismiss it or discredit it, its impact has seemingly increased. When people read the Bible and believe it, they find that their lives have a new foundation, a hope, and a purpose. They gain great strength to live as they read and dwell on God's promises and the explanation of God's good purposes in the world. They find that it gives a coherent explanation of the world as we live in it, a worldview. So the Bible is powerful. It's a good idea then when people ask us questions about the Bible to encourage them to actually read it. Say, read one of the Gospels, which points so clearly to Jesus. Now, as the Christian faith grows rapidly around the world, it is the Bible and its truths that are being used to point people to Jesus. And just for 4 or 5 minutes or so, we're going to watch a video now which illustrates that very point about the work of the Bible Society in China. A million people came to faith in China this year.
As a result of the reform policy implemented by the government in China, Christians are allowed to worship in churches. Yeah. And when they first regather again, after the end of the Cultural Revolution, there was a great need for Bible. And the need continues because more and more people are joining the church, more and more Christians who want the Bible and they couldn't have one are asking for it. Yeah. So we have seen over the years a continuing, growing, increasing demand for the Word of God, for the Bible.
Bible is a very important access for me to get near to truth. So Bible is more like a symbol of truth to me. and it opened up a very bright window, and I can see the truth of Jesus and the light of Jesus through it.
Unofficially, people are saying there are as high as 90 million Christians, and it's growing. Every year, we have to print about 3 to 4 million copies of Bible for the church in China. And this is just to, you know, respond to the demand from the churches who are selling the Bibles to the Christians. The real demand, many people say, are far greater than that. You know. But with whatever funds are available, we print whatever we can for the church in China.
自己看,
today I bought all these Bibles. Some is for my own reading. The other is to give to my neighbors and friends as a gift to read when they visit my house. Bible means a lot to me because Bible is the most important thing in my life. It's more important than anything else in the world. I'm very happy to receive my first copy of Bible in my life. I feel very happy because I believe that by reading the Bible can increase my faith in my journey with the Lord. I'm here to collect the Bible from the Christian Council. Today the weather is very cold, and actually I have ride the bicycle for an hour to reach this place.
And the Christians in China are Bible-believing, Bible-loving Christians. The Bible is very important to them.
Church is growing in China. Just this year, 1 million people came to faith in China. Many Chinese Christians are very poor, and the Chinese church needs your support.
Well, we've seen that the Bible is a very powerful book, and it is reliable. There's external evidence from other historical sources, from archaeology, and very good manuscript evidence. And there's personal evidence. It changes lives and cultures. But also, finally, we see that there is internal evidence. What the Bible says about itself shows us that it is reliable. Now, taking just one example, we read from 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul gives instructions to his young assistant, Timothy, as he worked in the city of Ephesus. Now, Timothy had to sort out all sorts of problems in the churches, and Paul reminds him of the way that he needs to go about it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, the Bible. See, Paul knows that Timothy had been brought up by his believing mother and grandmother, who had taught him the Bible from being very young. And Paul goes on to show him vital things about the Bible. He says that the Bible's origin is clear. Verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. The Bible comes from God. The Bible is God's word. It is his message. He watched over the writing of the Bible by its human authors and made sure that what they wrote was true and reliable whilst recognizing their personalities and distinctiveness. The Bible is literally breathed out by God. It has his stamp of approval. It is, if you like, God preaching to us. The Bible is, as the prayer book calls it, God's word written. So the Bible's origin is clear. And secondly, the Bible's main purpose is clear. Verse 15. The sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, the Bible has much that helps us to understand the world and people, but it is not meant to be mainly a scientific textbook or a sociological analysis. We can work those things out by ourselves, by experiment and research very often. But the Bible is mainly a rescue manual. It tells us what we need to know. It tells us what we cannot find out for ourselves. It makes people wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It shows us how we can be put right with God through Jesus. It is, after all about him. And it shows us how God saves us as we believe in him and in his death and resurrection. Like that Chinese believer said on the video, the Bible is like a window through which we can see the truth of Jesus. So the Bible's main purpose is clear. But also finally, the Bible is the way we grow as Christians. The Holy Scriptures are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We learn what is good and bad. We grow in what is true as we learn from it and believe it. And that is why we need to keep learning from the Bible in church and in groups and as we read it ourselves. So it's without question that this book has had great influence for so many in so many ways. Despite what people often say, usually in ignorance, the Bible is reliable. There's evidence from outside the Bible, other historians, archaeology, and so on. There's personal evidence that shows that God changes lives for good, as we saw there in China. And also, as you would expect, there's evidence from within the Bible. It is God-breathed. It shows us how to be rescued through Jesus and equips us to serve him and live for him in his world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through it. And we thank you that in our land we have the Bible easily accessible to us. We pray that you would help us to make good use of it. And we also pray that you would enable those who are seeking to get the Bible out in other languages around this world, equip them for your name's sake. Amen. Well, as we approach sharing bread and wine to remember Jesus and what he's done for us, we're going to sing of the wonderful truth that God has made himself known in his word. These are the facts as we have received them. It's number 22A, that is in the supplement at the beginning of the red books. Number 22A, let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. The prayers on page 295. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseeching thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant to her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Father, we pray at this time, as we think of your world, that you might prosper the work of Bible Society in the many different situations that the Bible Societies are at work. We thank you for the large number of new professions of faith in Jesus in China. And we especially pray for the provision of Bibles, that these believers may be built up in Christ and be taught and strengthened and equipped to serve him. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and curates, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. Father, we pray for ourselves as a church family at this time that you would help us to make Christ known in the opportunities ahead of us this week. We commit to you Tuesday at 10, the Remembrance Sunday services, the school services, and other opportunities. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. A few moments to pray for those in need that we're aware of, thinking especially of Judy Cook, who has an important appointment this coming week. Father, grant these prayers for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Page 302. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right, so
it is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Page 306. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. When the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. The Lord's Prayer on page 309. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we thy humble servants entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee. Humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly blessing. And although we be unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offences. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. In our final hymn, we celebrate the wonderful truth that we believe in a God who has spoken and who speaks through what he has spoken. Number 301 in the hymn book. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.